Chapter 4, When Balls Fall, Audio Series, Ashish 9. Conrad meekly unzipped his trouser and lay down on the floor with his hands under his head, not even bothering to take out his balls, because he knew his goddess stepmother's predilections and habits. She immediately barked, "Conrad, who will take out your balls?" "Please punish this disobedient slave boy, goddess stepmother," he coolly answered, because he wanted his balls to be smacked, not by her daughter, but by the mother who was the object of his lust. She knew of his fetish and lust for her hands and fingers, and cruelly yelled out, "Cindy, where are you? Daughter, come down immediately. Your slave boy needs to be disciplined." Grinning like a Cheshire cat, her beauteous daughter rushed in from whichever part of the house she was doing whatever. Her mother pointed to the floor and said, "There, your disobedient boyfriend is lying on the floor, but he didn't expose his balls." Cindy rushed over to Eustace, fell down on her knees next to him, slapped his face twice. "Boy, take out your balls." "Yes, princess goddess." "That's princess mistress, slut boy. Until we get married, I'm a mistress. After marriage, you can call me mistress goddess. Right now, I'm not a princess goddess, I'm a princess mistress. Slap. Do you understand, boy?" Eustace, who didn't think too much of the daughter, was hoping to be punished by his stepmother, but was too wise to give any smart cracks back at his mistress, said, "Yes, your highness, my princess mistress, your slut boy is ashamed of his behavior. Please punish me." And docilely took out his balls, which were also locked up. But Cindy took out a key. Again, like her mother, she kept his penis in the curved steel tube and unlocked the balls. She said, "Mom, the letter opener, please." And then she said, "Boy, what do you say?" "I thank you, your highness, my princess mistress. Please whip my balls." With that, she started hitting his balls. As usual, the mother-daughter duo had a modus operandi of slashing the first stroke in a very vicious, cruel, and she whipped it down harshly, just to prove her girlfriendly advantage over the hapless boy. And he groaned, "Yeek, your highness, one. Mistress princess, thank you. Two, mistress princess, thank you. Three, mistress princess, thank you." As she hit him, her wrist work was much more delicate and elegant than her mother's, because she had picked it up at an earlier age. She did it much more gently, at the same time, much more forcibly too. But unknown to the fool or the foolish youth who thought the mother much more sexier, her strokes are much more sweeter to feel because the pain that she hit on his balls went into his clenched stomach and right into his prostate gland, sending his kundalini shakti right through his Sushumna Nadi, or the supersensuous inner channel inside the spinal cord. And his semen was much more cared for than his father's, because his girl was a natural. Unknown to Eustace, he was going to be the luckier yogi of the two, because she hit him absolutely in the center of the balls, where the pain was less, the sweetness was more. He was also wallowing in the sweetness of surrender, of a strapping, masculine, macho young man who was having his balls whipped by his powerful girlfriend, who was much more smaller to him in size, but who had the entire authority of their family infrastructure. His father had ordered him to be subservient to the girl unless he wanted to be kicked out of the house, because other than his father, he had no other living relative in the world, his mother having died beforehand, which had sent the older man, into the arms of a BDSM club, where he found his masochistic desires were adequately serviced best by Mistress Julia, who was a dominatrix at the club, and who, upon finding he was one of the richest men on the globe, proceeded to monopolize him and moved in with him as his in-house physical trainer and later live-in girlfriend, and then they married. Conrad had signed over his entire property into her name, and even though he remained the chairman and managing director, 90% of his shares were now transferred into her names, and his bank account was jointly controlled by her and him, and all the cars and buildings and land and his late wife's jewelry had been transferred into her lockers, her bank account, her name. And he was basically a pauper in a suit, driving his wife's Mercedes and wife's Lamborghinis, living in his wife's house. And the prenuptial also was favored to give her everything, so that he would have the privilege of having the shirt on his back and the Brazilian skimpy thong on his ass and his mistress's butt plug up his asshole and little and absolutely nothing else if and when they had a divorce. But because of all that stored up semen in his balls, which helped him to become a monstrous predator on the stock exchange and in the steel markets, he had become richer, and physically also she made him work out at their gym with a rattan king on his ass. And because of his increased stamina and endurance, he was able to build up his physical health also much more than ever before, and he had become a real prize and a catch, and women swooned after him. And after one or two encounters with drunken alcohol breaths, NCP monsters on the dating circuit, Julia had stopped cuckolding him, finding his pussy licking and buttock kissing much more exciting and much more satisfying. She made him kiss her gargantuan buttocks and lick her to orgasms, and when she was spanking his balls, she used to get a clenched pussy and clenched clitoris orgasm. So the entire property would be going to the mother and daughter, because after Conrad and Julia's demise, everything would be transferred to her daughter, and basically Conrad's biological son would be the slave boy of Cindy. But Eustace was a very good athlete, a good student, and because of his total control of his cock and balls and his stored up semen, he was doing very well under the guidance and tutelage of a natural dominatrix like Cindy, who actually adored him very much. And unlike her mother, she never showed off her dominance to her girlfriends. She preferred to dominate in the privacy of their swimming pool or their gym or their private rooms. And even though the idiot lusted after her mother, she didn't mind, because she knew one day or other her mother would take him by his ears and hand him over in a marriage ceremony, totally trussed up as her own property, and then she could do whatever she wanted with him. He would have little say in the matter. But both father and son enjoyed the ball spanking so much because of the sweet surrender, the sweetness of the feeling of masculine importance at the hands of womanly power, womanly dominance, maternal love slamming into their balls and helplessly being raped on their balls by their respective dominatrix, really fed their emotional fetishes and inadequacies, and they were actually a happy, if sexually dysfunctional, family. Om Shanti. Amen.